of Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 10 through 18. A very familiar passage where Paul is writing and encouraging the church, and it speaks in this hour to be prepared for battle. What I want to speak to you for just a few minutes tonight, Lord willing, is dressed for battle. Dressed for battle. If you could, let's stand for the reading of the Word. Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 10, says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that, Lord, we can come before You tonight, that, Lord, even though that we know and we can feel that there is a battle raging, we already know that You've won the victory. And, Lord, we know that, Lord, in this last hour, more than ever, we need to be aware of the struggle, and we need to be prepared, and we need to be strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, we need to be yielded to You. And God, as we walk, that, Lord, we would, Lord, not fall back, not look over our shoulder, but God, go forward in the strength of Your power and Holy Spirit. For, Lord, victory is already won. And, Lord, You've already provided the strength that we need. We win, Lord, if we just keep hanging on and keep strengthening ourselves with You. And thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Tonight, like I said, we're going to talk just a few minutes about dress for battle. In the last several years, we've seen all kinds of pictures coming out of the Middle East of our soldiers in battle scenes. And it never ceases to amaze me when you see how much stuff that they have to wear. Sometimes I'm wondering, how in the world do they have any strength to fight when they've got all that equipment that they're packing around? And I was just interested just to see, I did a little search on the internet trying to find out, what all do they pack? What does a normal soldier pack to battle? And just trying to get a list. And this is definitely not an all-inclusive list, but this might surprise you. Just normal an attire and equipment that they take into battle. They have a battle dress uniform under a Kevlar vest with various pouches, a rifle with a full ammo ammunition magazine, a water canteen, knee pads, either black, brown, or tan boots, a Kevlar helmet with appropriate camo, shooting goggles and frag grenades, sometimes gloves, MRE meals, and a 60-pound backpack, at least 6 extra rifle ammunition magazines, a K-bar survival knife, a pistol, sometimes a GPS device, and a radio equipment, and any extra space that they can find in all that equipment, they load it with ammo and extra water. Now, that does not include the list of all the personal items that they carry themselves. A study they looked at recently found that many times soldiers going into battle have well over 100 pounds of extra equipment hanging off of them. And you wonder how they make it. It is pretty incredible how much that they pack with them. You know what? Sometimes as a Christian, we're just absolutely the opposite. We try to go into battle every day sometimes with nothing. We think we can handle it. The Lord has provided us all the equipment that we're going to need. And we're going to look at that in a few minutes. But you know what? Many times we get to the end of our day and we're beat down and we've got a lot of bruises and a lot of problems that happened that day. And we just don't seem to understand why in the world has it gone so bad today. Not really realizing that that morning we didn't get up and put on the armor. We didn't get up and put on the equipment that God had already provided for us to win the battle. And that's what Paul is admonishing us here, is that we're in the last hour. And Brother Jarvis has been pushing us to move forward. If we're going to win in this last hour, we've got to get ready. We've got to be dressed for battle. It starts every morning when you get up. You are a soldier. If you've been saved, you're a soldier of Christ. And there is a battle, whether you can see it or not. You're not going to see into the spiritual, but you can feel it. And you can see the outcome. I was just thinking before service tonight, some of the things the devil tries to do to us. We're not going to concentrate a lot on him tonight. We're going to concentrate on what victory we can have with the power of God. But I was just thinking, it seemed like a bunch of them were D's. I come up with 8 D's that Satan tries to do to you. One of them is discourage you. He tries to distract you. He wants to disable you. He wants to dishearten you. He wants to disappoint you. He wants to defeat you. And ultimately, he wants to destroy you. That's his plan. That's his tactic. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. Scriptures at one place calls him a roaring lion. Another place it calls him a serpent. And then he's also called a dragon. His techniques has been used for thousands of years. But we have a victor. We have Jesus Christ who's already defeated him. Before we even look at this tonight, we need to know the victory's already won. Jesus Christ on the cross already defeated Satan, and he took away the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and he's already given us victory. But the enemy is not going to quit trying to convince you to give up. Because if he can convince you to give up, he will rob you from the victory that is planned for you by the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to see what he's telling us to do here. We see in verse 10 that it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong." How are we to be strong? In the Lord, and in the power of His might, not your strength. You don't have strength. You can't do it. If you're wondering why you're failing so much, sometimes I have to ask myself what's going on. And when I start looking, it's because I'm in my own strength. You have no strength in yourself. Ephesians 1:19 says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power." There is mighty, awesome power available to you, but it's only when you lean on His strength. The Lord is there. He makes it available to you. This morning when you got up, the power and presence of the Lord was right there waiting. Did you take advantage of it, or did we go out like sometimes we do and we just say, "I'm just going to try it on my own"? And we wait till trouble strikes and then we try to get a hold of God when we're already into the battle. And that's not His plan for us. We need to step out in the power of His might. Verse 11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God." Now, these men going into battle, it's pretty heavy, the equipment list we went through a minute ago. And I'm sure there's some things they might like to have a few extra MREs. They may think, "Well, I'm going to get hungry. Maybe I can take off this Kevlar suit, this protection that weighs so much, and I could probably squeeze in a few more MREs." But I can tell you, in the heat of the battle, that would be a very bad mistake. The Lord has given us all the power. And we're going to see in just a minute that everything He's provided, it is Jesus Christ. He's the answer. He is the very thing that we need that's going to help us make it through. But the Lord has given us everything we're going to need to win the victory. Whatever you face tomorrow, you will win tomorrow if you trust in the Lord with all of your might. "Put on the whole armor of God." Why? "That you may be able to withstand against the wiles." That word "wiles" means the methods. The methods that the devil is going to use against you. Listen, he's taken down great men and women of God because they've got themselves in a position to where they've gotten weak and they've got thinking they can handle it on their own, and that is when we are ready to fall. Satan uses techniques, but he tries you. But the good thing we can know is this, that Satan himself is not like our God. He does not know everything. He cannot be everything at one time, but we know that he will, but his imps, his demonic forces that we're going to look at, he uses them to try to discourage you. We need to realize that we can have victory. We need to put on the whole armor that we would be able to stand against the methods he's going to use on you to try to defeat you. "For we need to know who we're fighting against, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood." This, you know, you're going to be weak in the flesh. You're going to be tired in the flesh. And that's the problem in any spiritual battle. This flesh has got to get out of the way. You can't win it in the flesh. I don't care who you are or how strong you are. This is a spiritual battle. And many times we lose the battle because we forget we're in a spiritual battle and we try to do it in the physical. This is a spiritual battle. We have to fight it on our knees. We have to fight it every day, trying to get strength and receiving strength from the Holy Spirit. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but who are we fighting against? We're fighting against principalities. Every one of these are demonic forces. Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There is demon forces that is more rampant at this hour than we have ever seen before. Our country, even in our own community, churches are making decisions and having church issues to where they're trying to decide if they're going to accept homosexual pastors in the pulpit. There is things happening in London, Kentucky that I never thought we'd ever see before. There's decisions being made in our country, just here, much less the rest of the world. There is spiritual warfare going on. And because the church is not getting on her knees the way that we should, because we're not getting the strength we need, because we're not getting the victory we need on a daily basis, more victories is being won for Satan. He's taking more ground, and God has the power to come against this attack of the enemy. We don't have to give up our country. We don't have to give up our community. We don't have to give away our children. We just need to get serious with God and get to the point where we say, this is enough. I know that I win if I put the Lord first and I'm going to get a hold of Him. I'm going to let God strengthen me. I want to let God use me. And that's what He's looking for. But too many times we just say, I can't do it. And we sit back with all the ability and power that God has and we let the enemy come in like a flood. And that's not God's plan for your life. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. This is the evil day. Every day it never ceases to amaze me that it's worse than the day before. And having done all, everything within you to prepare, to pray, to seek God's face, to get filled with the Holy Spirit every day, fresh and anew, to be able to go out with strength. That's what First Pentecostal needs. That's what James Hacker needs. That's what every one of us needs, is that every day that we are stirred and we are strengthened and we are fresh and we are full of the Spirit, so that when we go out the door that we know, we feel God's presence so strong that we know that there's nothing that's going to come against us, even though it may get bad today. We know that God is already going before us. He's already preparing before us what He wants to happen that day, and He is going to win. He's going to work out good in your life if you just put Him first. But we have to do everything within ourselves to surrender ourselves to Him. Satan will try to convince you that's not necessary. That's the old way we used to do things. That's not the case. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants us to surrender ourselves. Die to yourself every day. If you're going to be a true soldier, if you're going to be the dress for battle, die to yourself every morning and put on the presence and Spirit of God. Standing there, having your loins girt about with truth. John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How do we stand? With Jesus Christ. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. We need Jesus Christ to give us truth. That is truth. We live in a culture and a time today when there's so much clouding of what really truth is. What's right? What's wrong? What yesterday? Is it same yesterday? Is the things we used to believe, have they not changed now? But no, Jesus Christ is the truth. If you want to know what's right, what's wrong, what truth is, go to Jesus Christ. He's what we need to anchor our life upon. He is the truth that we need to establish ourselves in Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Verse 15 says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What is this gospel of peace? It is of Jesus Christ. It is, He's paid the price. It is that gospel that says you are a sinner, you are lost, you're undone, you have no way to do anything in yourself, but Jesus Christ has came and paid the price for you. We can go forward with that good news. Jesus Christ is how we will receive strength. He is the answer to every part of this armor, is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Our faith is built on one thing, Jesus Christ. Our faith, our confidence cannot be in a man. Our confidence cannot be in a denomination. Our confidence is in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. When the enemy comes in like a flood and he's trying to just totally annihilate you and he's throwing things at you and you feel like you're going to cave under the pressure, he says to take up this shield, this large shield, 2x4 shield that you can actually hold up above everything else, and those arrows will just be thwarted. That attack of the enemy cannot penetrate our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He never forsakes us. He never leaves us. But many times we just sit there exposed and we take in all these thoughts and we take in all these doubts and we have our faith challenged. But the Lord says, I have not changed. I am still in control. There's nothing that's going to come against you that I'm not already prepared for. And we need to hold up the shield of faith, putting our confidence in our Lord and Savior. The world is looking for someone to put their faith in Jesus Christ. Sometimes we seem to be so shaky. Do we believe it or not? Do we believe God's a healer? Do we believe the Lord's moving? Do we believe God's got a plan for our lives? The answer on all these is yes. God is in control. Just because we don't understand what's going on, just because we can't tell what's going to happen tomorrow, we know that Jesus Christ is already there. He's already before us. He's already got the victory won. He's looking for people who will put their full confidence, that says that I am not going to fear. I will walk after you. I will put my confidence in you. That just as they did when they walked into that fiery furnace, that says I will not bow to you. I don't know what's going to happen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not know the Lord can deliver me, but you know, no matter what, I know who's in control. I'm going to go into this trial, and no matter what happens, I know he's still got it under control. And we see that great victory was won. Peter had confidence in who? Jesus Christ. He was looking in him. He knew if Jesus could do it, he could walk on water. Lord, let me walk on water. And he was able to. Even though he faltered, he was able to walk on the water. Why? Not because of his strength, because he kept his eyes on the Lord and Jesus Christ. He had his confidence. We don't have to be shaken. We don't have to be troubled. In verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. Where is our salvation? Is it in us? Is it in anything that we can do? Our salvation comes through Jesus Christ, who paid the price that we could never pay. If we're going to have this armor of God totally controlling us and totally protecting us and totally on the inside, all the way around us and coming from us, we're going to have to get a hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the captain of our host. He is the victor. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the commander of the host of the army of the Lord. He is the one that we lean on. He is our strength. But so many times we seem like we're weak. We don't know what's going to happen. We need to put on this whole armor and step forward. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Who is the Word of God? Jesus Christ. When Satan waited till he was at the point of his weakest moments, after being without food for 40 days to when he was starving literally to death. We fasted a week. Nearly killed me. I was just thinking, it gave me an appreciation even more for the Lord to think, how in the world could someone in that climate go 40 days? I just can't even begin to imagine. I can't imagine how weak he must have been at that moment. And Satan, being the way he is, waits till he gets to that weakest point. And he comes to him and tries to get him to fall, tries to get him to mess up, tries to tempt him with things to get him to falter. But what? He could not do it. You know why? He tried to take the Word of God and twist it. He couldn't do it because he's talking to the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. So when we have a problem, we can go and stand on the Word and we can take it to the bank. We can trust that whatever God said He will do, He will do it. Why? Because He is still faithful. He is the Word and He will fulfill His Word in you if only we will trust Him to. And then we need to see, where does this power? How do we receive this power? How is it that we're going to get this armor? How are we going to get the strength we need? It comes in this last section here, such a powerful section, but so many times we just kind of walk right on past it. It says in verse 18, praying always. Praying always. Is prayer important anymore? I mean, is it legalistic? I mean, God knows everything, doesn't he? I mean, won't he just give us what we need? Do we really have to ask him and plead with him and just keep reminding him? I mean, does he forget? What's the purpose in prayer? We really need to be praying, or is this saying we need to be praying all the time? Do we need to pray 365 days, 24 hours a day when it says pray always? What's this saying here? It's God doesn't want to just hear you talk. He's not just looking for words. Sometimes we pray and it's just repetition. We get down to praying, it's the same thing we've been praying for the last 25 years. No, that's not what God's talking about here. God is talking about a relationship between you and him, a continual relationship. It's like you've picked up the phone and you call someone and you've got this communication and you don't hang up. You lay it down or you have it still connected there so that at any moment you could pick it back up. You get into the battle, Lord, I'm needing your help right now. You get going down the road and temptation comes, Lord, I need some strength right now. You get going down the road, your children are in need. God, I need you to intervene right now. There is a relationship that is continually going day and night so that all through the day, every time you get into a situation, every time you need strength, every time you need wisdom, you just have that communication already opened up between you and God. We wonder why the church is so weak. It's because we forget to pray. We don't really want to pray anymore. You know why? Because it takes time. It takes effort. It takes surrender. It takes sacrifice. It takes giving up a few things. It takes admitting how we really are. We're weak because we don't give God the first part of our day and we don't let God have control and we don't melt before him and let God put his finger on things in our life that's causing us trouble. God wants us to learn to pray again. The best thing that will ever happen in our church is when there would be a continual crying out and we could come in here and hear people praying all during through the day and God's nostrils would be filled with a sweet smell of people's prayer rising up to him saying, God, I can't do it. I can't make the decisions anymore. I'm tired of going through this. I need you to take control. Lord, our church, we need your Holy Spirit to have its control. Lord, have your way. Lord, get rid of sin. Lord, save my children. Lord, bring revival. Lord, fill up the Sunday school. Lord, do this. Lord, have your way. That's what he's wanting. That's what he's desiring. Pray always. Keep that communication open between you and God. Praying always with all prayer. What he's talking about here is there's more than one kind of prayer. Many times we get used to just that laundry list, you know. We come to God and we say, God, well, I have this need, and Lord, I need one of those, and Lord, it would really make me better if I had that, and Lord, this person's kind of being mean to me. Can you take care of that? And we give God kind of a laundry list of things we want him to do. That's not what God's, you know, there is different types of prayer. Yeah, there's times we come to him with specific needs, but there's also prayer of intercession. There's also prayer of thanksgiving till we learn to come before God and praise. Well, I just kind of, I'm used to doing the praying and asking God for things. I don't think I have to have the other. You know, let me tell you something. There is things that God will break the yoke at different times when you praise him in adversity. You know, you're going through things. You don't understand why it's going on. You don't know what the answer is going to be. I tell you what, if you can learn to stop right there and say, God, I don't understand. I know you do. You've got it under control. You're just like Job. You're already past it. You have a plan. The whole time God never left Job. The whole time God had it under control. The whole time God would not let the enemy go one centimeter past where he wanted him to go. He had it under control the whole time. And the best part was he knew the outcome. He knew Job could do it. He knew Job was going to come out victorious. He knew Job was going to see his strength at the end to make him even stronger than even before. And we know that God has it under control. We need to be able to put our confidence in him. And we need to pray always with all prayer. And you know what? God will turn the yoke sometimes when we're just praising him. I don't understand what's going on, God, but I know you do, and I praise you that I can trust you, and I don't have to worry about the problem. I don't have to worry about the outcome. Lord, you are great and mighty, and you're faithful, and you've always come through for me. And we learn to praise God, and sometimes that's exactly what God wanted you to do, and God turns it. Sometimes you're going to have the answer come when you're interceding. When you're interceding, we're just talking about Job. Job went through all this stuff, and it just seems like he can't hardly bear anymore. And his friends and his wife is the end of the line, and they've turned their back on him. And it's just about all you can stand to read it, because you're thinking, I don't know how he did this. I don't know how this man even still standing, or he probably still sitting at that point. But we see the answer came. It says that God told Job to pray for his friends, and during that prayer, when Job's going through it and said, you know, Job could have said, look at me. Look what I'm going through. Can't they pray for me? Can't someone pray for me? Look at the condition I'm in. The whole time he kept saying, God, no matter what anybody says, you're my help. No matter what anybody else, I'm not looking for encouragement from any of them. It's you, Lord. I want to hear what you have to say. And God said, you know what he said to him? Pray for your friends. It'd been easy for him to be real selfish at that moment and say, wait a minute, I don't have any strength left. Look at the condition I'm in. But you know what he did? Okay, God, I'll do what you said. And he started praying for God to have mercy on his friends. And it says in the middle of that prayer of intercession, it says that the tide was turned. The captivity was turned. The chains dropped. The pain went away. God turned that situation 180 degrees while he prayed a prayer of intercession. We need to learn to pray. We need to learn to pray. How many people would be set free that we know, that we care about, if we'd learn to pray with true prayer of intercession? How many times would God's Spirit be poured out in such an awesome way that God's Spirit would just sweep through this place if we learn to truly get ourselves out of the center seat of our life and we give God a prayer of praise and true worship, that tears are coming down our face even in the middle of the storm, and God would turn it around. You know, God has got it all under control. We need to pray always with all prayer and supplication, praying for those around you in the Spirit. In the Spirit. You know, we need to learn that we don't know how to pray. And the best way to pray is if we can get to that place to where when we're pressing into the presence of God, and we just quit telling God what we think, and we feel his presence so strong that we feel the Holy Spirit sweep over us, and all of a sudden it's not us praying anymore, but it's the Holy Spirit praying through us. It's the Holy Spirit. It's us praying to God through the Son with the Spirit. It's when we get out of the seat, and I'm going to quit asking for what I want, and Holy Spirit, you know what I need. You pray through me. God wants to do mighty things, and it's only going to happen when we get out of the way of the presence of the Holy Spirit. When we quit trying to just say, well, we're just going to go through the motions. That's just the way we've been doing it lately, and I've not been really coming to prayer meeting, and I've not been really giving up too much, and God understands. No, that's not. God wants to do something. God wants to set you free. God wants to break the bondage. God wants to bring revival. God wants to save those lost. God wants to fill this place up. God's presence wants to fill this place. You know, after we had that service, last Sunday, a week ago Sunday night, and we had that really good service, and God's Spirit started moving when the choir was singing. We got into Wednesday night service, and testimony after testimony. We got some pretty good testifiers in youth. I got to get them to do it in here. We had testimony after testimony of young people talking about how God moved and how they felt God's presence move and how they were excited about God's presence. But you know what? That's what we need. That's what we need. We need to get some excitement because we see and feel God's presence. You know what? I don't want to be in the way. I don't want to be the one doing it. I want God to move because I need him to touch me, and I need his holy presence to be poured out. It's going to happen when there is such a hunger that just burns within us that we say, no more, no more. I'm not, just like the song, I'm not looking back. I can't go back there. What is there ever back that's worth going back to? There's way more ahead. Victory is ahead, and we just got to hang on. Keep praying. Keep seeking after God. Keep every time you pray, the more you pray, the more the Holy Spirit pours out of you. That's when you feel the full armor of God totally encompass you. You may be the most meek and humble young lady, and all of a sudden you'll feel bold as a lion because the presence of God is now moving through you. And that's what he wants to do. And that's what he wants to do in this last hour. It's what he's got to do. We can't make it in this strength that we have. We can't make it the way we've been doing it. We've got to move forward praying, watching, therefore, with all perseverance. We need to pray and watch. I'm about done. Pray and watch. Brother Huff used to kid on the morning prayer service. He said people come to pray, and him and I, we'd watch and pray. What he was talking about, he'd say we'd be praying, but we'd be walking. We'd watch everybody when they come in. We knew who all was coming in. Now, that's not exactly what this scripture is talking about. This scripture is talking about being in prayer, but at the same time being evident of what's going on around you. Being circumspect. Know that the enemy is out to attack you. Also know that if you keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, he is your strength. That no matter what the enemy is going to do, the victory is already there. We don't lose, but we've got to be strong in prayer. We've got to be moving forward. We've got to start calling out on God to where we quit worrying about if anybody hears us or how long it takes, or we can't be like we were yesterday or last year. We've got to move forward. Time is short. Too much is at stake. We've got to move forward, and it's going to take intercessory prayer. It's going to take worship. It's going to take getting a hold of God. And we need to realize that we're not. The last thing is, we're not in this alone. This isn't just me. This isn't just you. The Lord, when He was teaching His disciples to pray, He started it out saying, "Our Father, which art in heaven." He didn't say, "My Father." "Our Father." You know, we're one big family here. We are a family. You're my family. I'm your family. Some of you don't want to claim here, but we're a family. But you know what? We're all His family. And we need to learn to bind together. We need to learn to start to encouraging those around us. We see those that are weak, encourage them. You see those that you know are in need, pray for them. Encourage them. Lift them up. Let them know you're there for them. Call them and talk to them. Be there. Just put your hand on them every once in a while. Pray for them. Send them something. Let them know, "Hey, every day, 6 o'clock, I'm praying for you." We've got to get in this together and quit allowing ourselves to get weak. And then the devil, the first thing he's going to do is try to convince you you're all alone. Nobody knows you're there. Nobody cares. And that's not the case. We're a family. And we have one goal, and it should be one goal, and that's to move forward in the things of Christ. As we close tonight, victory is ahead. We don't need to be discouraged. We don't need to be cast down. We need to know that there is not one thing that the enemy could ever come up with that God hasn't already won the victory. He's already won. Don't walk around defeated. Don't walk around weak. Don't walk around going through this over and over again, trying to learn what you're going to do next, thinking you've got to outsmart the devil. All you've got to do, put on this full armor of God. Get filled with His presence. Listen to what He says. Go where He tells you to go. Say what He tells you to say, and you will end up every night praising God, and your book of things to thank God for will be thicker than Sandy's. It'll be thicker than Sandy's. Every day she's putting new stuff, and that book of prayer requests that God answers, you won't even be able to. When it comes time to thank God, you'll be the first one to say, "You know, I've got so many done this week. I can't wait till next week. I won't have time. I got to tell you what all God's done for me." God's on the throne, folks. God has won the victory. Time is so short, and He's saying here, "Be strong, hang on, move forward. Don't look back. Just keep looking forward. The victory's ahead." The victory is ahead. Let's stand tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank You. Lord, You're victorious. Jesus, You have already won. And Lord, I know that, Lord, we need more strength. I need more strength from You. And God, I pray that, God, You would encourage us. God, that You would burden us. Lord, start in me, stir me, that every single day, that, Lord, I would want more of You. That, Lord, I wouldn't settle for any defeat. Lord, I wouldn't let the enemy have one more inch, but God, that I would be able to stand my ground with faith and confidence in You, full of Your presence, for the enemy is fearful of Your presence. He doesn't fear us. He fears You. He fears Your Holy Spirit living through our lives. God, don't let one more day, don't let one more defeat happen in this place. Don't let one more family be discouraged because they don't know what they're going to do. God, strengthen us. Encourage us. Fill us full of Your presence. Bring down the victory that You've already won. Lord, I thank You. We don't have to be fearful, but we can stand boldly in the face of trouble, knowing we win. Thank You, Lord, for Your faithful and mighty name. Hallelujah.